Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Tom Pike, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Pete Boyer. Tom, the information-based technologies that support energy, scientific, defense, energy, and environmental missions have made the department and its labs an increasingly attractive target for those who seek its technologies and the national security information. Could you elaborate on some of the critical security threats and challenges facing your department and the IT infrastructure?
As I mentioned earlier, Al, we are attacked one place or another across the country in the DOE complex by hackers millions of times every day. Some of these attacks are simply scans or the absolutely minimum intrusiveness in terms of the nature of the scan or the nature of the attack. Others of the attacks are very sophisticated. We have a defense in depth in place, including firewalls and intrusion detection systems and even special sensors outside our firewalls that help us defend against these attackers. We also use commercial virus detection software and other commercial software that helps us identify and protect against a very large percentage of these attacks. Fortunately, most of these attacks are not very sophisticated, and our defenses deal with them easily many times a day. But the most sophisticated attackers have the potential to get through and to compromise our systems and data. So we have to be vigilant, working hard to keep ahead of attackers as they get even better at what they do day by day and week by week. We have teams of cybersecurity experts at our various sites across the country. And we have a department-wide cyber forensics task force that works to analyze and deflect the most complex attacks that we receive.
Now, Secretary Bodman has also gone on record as saying, and I quote, "Revitalizing DOE's cybersecurity program is the best way to ensure that we continue to protect our department's assets and the nation." So with this, how has DOE, your cybersecurity revitalization plan, enabled your department to strengthen its cybersecurity protocols and better secure the department's infrastructure?
When I arrived at DOE 2 years ago, I found that a lot of the basics of cybersecurity were in place and that we had a lot of very bright people at headquarters and especially in the field helping us protect our systems and data. But we will not organize to marshal the forces to put all the pieces together into a comprehensive, effective program. So we stepped back, and we created a cybersecurity revitalization plan, as we call it, which enabled us to involve everyone in cybersecurity. Everyone, including the secretary, the deputy secretary, each undersecretary, accepted a leadership role to improve the way cybersecurity is managed across the department. Each undersecretary has a special role and accepts the responsibility for managing cybersecurity within that undersecretary's organization based on risk and subject to certain common ingredients that cut across cybersecurity across the department, some of which cut across government-wide. We developed a new cybersecurity policy and over 20 policy guidance documents covering every aspect of cybersecurity. We issued a new, very much updated National Security Systems Manual, which substantially strengthened the protection required for our classified systems and information. We took steps to improve risk-based department-wide certification and accreditation processes for systems, using newly issued guidance and through the site assistance visits that I mentioned earlier. I should mention that as of this last September, in the last cybersecurity report prepared by DOE's Inspector General, the quality of our certification and accreditation processes were determined to have reached a satisfactory level for the first time ever. We enhanced the defense in depth of our DOE systems and networks, including taking such steps as segmenting or separating parts of our networks, adding still more intrusion detection systems, and replacing older, more vulnerable system software. We created the DOE-wide cyber forensics team that I mentioned earlier, a team that focuses on the most serious cyber threats and attacks that we face, analyze them in great depth, and improving our protection on the fly day by day. We created special guidance and reporting processes to give protection for sensitive unclassified information, including personally identifiable information. The department's cybersecurity posture is much stronger than it was 2 years ago, but we still have a long way to go, in part because, as I like to say, the bad guys are continually getting badder, and our defenses have to be continually improved. It's kind of a cat-and-mouse game, and we can't afford to lose because we have so much sensitive information that we must protect and protect well.
Now, Tom, that's very impressive. On a similar line but a little bit of a change of subject, would you elaborate on your efforts to make DOE a model within federal government for energy efficiency? And to what extent does this involve movement toward green computing?
We have for a long time at the Department of Energy acquired energy-efficient IT equipment, and we operate it in an energy-efficient way. For example, we turn off all our PCs at night, and if individuals don't turn them off, we turn them off for them. And we configure them while they're on to use as little energy as possible. We received during the past year 3 awards for going green with DOE IT. The DOE Headquarters Green Team received a White House Award for its acquisition of energy-efficient equipment, for our energy-efficient IT operations, and for disposing of IT equipment in an environmentally sound way. We're now beginning a pilot at DOE Headquarters for the use of what is called thin client technology. This is technology in which the PC disappears and basically makes its way to the back room. We believe that this technology has the potential to reduce significantly the amount of energy consumed and at the same time to improve our cybersecurity protection. We're also looking at the future use of fuel cell technology for our data center, which we believe will make possible substantial reduction in energy use for powering data center equipment and the associated air conditioning systems.
As a follow-up, could you tell us more about your efforts to move toward a thin client and maybe a little more of a description on the thin client technology as how it differs from your current operating environment, but also elaborate on the benefits of going in this direction and the status of this program at DOE?
Thin client computing takes the computing that now occurs in a user's office in his or her PC and moves it to the back room, to the data center. The user still has a monitor and a keyboard and a mouse. We'd be lost without that. But instead of having a PC, there's a little box that connects through the network to a server computer in the data center. Each server computer can support many hundreds of users in this way, providing the same level of performance as each user currently experiences. A 60-watt PC is replaced by a 6-watt thin client box. The server in the data center and the equipment around it may use a few more watts than it otherwise would. So the net energy savings is substantial, and we will be substantial beneficiaries in terms of the overall energy consumption as a result of using this technology if it proves to work as advertised and as we believe it will work. Most of the cyber attacks that we receive are at least partially successful or targeted toward individual PCs. If the PC isn't there, it can't be attacked. The server computer back in the data center can have stronger defenses, which minimizes the likelihood of a successful attack. We're well along planning a pilot of this technology, and we expect to have at least 50 thin clients in use as a part of the pilot within the next few months. If the pilot is successful, we will roll out this technology more broadly to our thousands of users in the Washington area and beyond.
Excellent. Now, continuing on the technology theme, the department is expanding the capability of world-class scientific research through advances in high-performance computing and the application of computers capable of many trillions of operations per second. Would you elaborate on DOE's efforts around high-performance computing? Specifically, how is the department making use of these advances, and what role does your office play in assisting the DOE's Office of Science?
Well, Pete, I think this is one of the most exciting things about the Department of Energy. And, of course, my middle name is High Performance Computing, or supercomputers. I've spent some of my years working in this area.
I didn't see that on your bio.
In support of our mission, the Department of Energy operates 6 of the 11 most powerful supercomputers in the world, and including The very highest performing computer, BlueGene L, located at our Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. Our scientists have been quite successful applying these machines to advanced scientific tasks, including modeling climate change and modeling the performance of nuclear weapons sufficiently well to eliminate the need to actually test the physical weapons themselves. The scientific results have been so significant that our science leaders believe that major advances in science in many areas will now be achieved by a combination of theory, laboratory experimentation, and computer modeling. The computer, the high-performance computer, is already playing a very significant role in scientific discovery.
So, Tom, under the National Nuclear Security Administration, you mentioned earlier that DOE is responsible for the maintenance, certification, and reliability of our nuclear weapons stockpile. Given the importance and complexity of your department's role in ensuring the vitality of the nuclear stockpile, from an IT perspective, how does your office work with the NNSA, and to what extent does it assist the NNSA with this critical mission?
NNSA is a very important part of the department, and our office works very closely with NNSA, its senior management, including its CIO. NNSA participates with the rest of the department in IT capital investment management, enterprise architecture, and cybersecurity management. And I'd like to point out that with regard to high-performance computing, a number of these very high-performance computers are in NNSA, in NNSA labs, and an increasing number of them are in this Office of Science labs. And our office plays a role in helping to coordinate overall high-performance computing activities across the department and looking for opportunities to improve the way we manage our computers and the way we share the computers themselves and the expertise associated with the computers.
Now, earlier, Tom, you had described to us when you were describing the overall organization at DOE, I believe you mentioned 14,000 federal employees and I think it was 100,000 contract employees. Could you tell us how federal managers can effectively manage this ever-increasing blended workforce composed of both contractors and federal workers?
We need to have a clear understanding of the roles and responsibilities of each of the players: the government leaders and government organizations, and the contractors and contractor employees. We obviously need good contracts, but that's not enough. We, consistent with ethical and contractual propriety, we have established and need to continue working on effective partnerships for the government leaders, the government employees, to work as partners with our contractors and contractor employees to be able to get our entire mission accomplished. This is not easy to do, especially since DOE is 90% of DOE is in the field and 90% of our work is performed by contractors. It's further complicated by the fact that our wonderful laboratories are quite independent in their outlook. That's really a virtue, in my opinion. But it also complicates the way in which we have to manage, again, with just enough discipline, just enough organization. Much of the work is performed by brilliant, very dedicated scientists who, by the nature of their work, need to function as independently as possible. So for us to be able to accomplish our work, including the proper care and feeding of all of these brilliant scientists, we need to find the right balance of government oversight, federal oversight, and contractor performance in a way that meets everyone's expectations.
It certainly is a delicate balance. What does the future hold for the U.S. Department of Energy's IT function? We will ask Tom Pike, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.